Welcome everyone, and also to people watching this later on the internet, the recorded version as an introduction to this series. I'm gonna introduce myself a little bit and then talk through just a couple of the upcoming speakers we have. This will be relatively quick and painless, I think. So my name is Dr. Nicholas Johnson. I'm an associate professor of musicology at Butler University in Indianapolis, Indiana. I'm also the director of graduate studies for the School of Music there. And I have recently joined the board and started working with SBVA on some initiatives. And this is something that I believe in quite a bit and I'm very excited about. As a director of graduate studies, I work with, we usually have about 15 to 20 students who graduate with a master's degree in music every year. And then I work in a college of the arts, so I also end up tracking some dance students and theater and visual arts students and arts administration. And while our university does a very good job teaching multiple skills in the creation of one's art and in displaying one's abilities and working as ensembles and as a soloist and all sorts of things, we do not do a great job in training artists to survive in the real world of being a freelance artist or working for a nonprofit or doing auditions or all the various things that people have to do to survive as an artist. So I'm really excited and I was eager to jump on board to help out with this webinar series because I think we can fill an important need here of bringing experts in these topics and giving them a chance to share their experience of having what the real nitty gritty of having a career as an artist is. Because it can be, sometimes it can be pretty fulfilling and beautiful. We get to share our visions with the world and the way that we understand things. Sometimes it can be kind of brutal and dealing with rejection and loneliness and taxes, the three worst things we could have to deal with. And anything we can do to help artists survive and thrive, I think is going to be very beneficial. When I was working with the board, honestly, a lot of the times I'm just thinking about what are the kinds of things I literally want my students to be learning. And I believe in a lot of the products, a lot of the series, a lot of the lectures we're going to have coming up. And I'm excited about that. So the overall plan here for this webinar series is every 2 weeks we're going to have an expert in one of the different arts come and talk about something to do with having a career in the arts and all the different elements that can involve. And then all of these lectures are going to be stored and can be watched later when as members join in the future. We're of course hoping that people join the webinar themselves so that they have an opportunity to ask questions and interact with the speakers. So they can get the exact kind of help that they want. But we're already planning several months out. And I'm really excited about some of the topics we have coming up. I'll start with one. I'll mention a couple of the future speakers. We're in talks with a bunch of others, but two that we've got coming up. First is actually a good friend of mine. His name is Eric Salazar. He is a composer and musician, I actually asked him to do this because he right now gives talks on being an artist and doing business with several different organizations in the United States. He travels around and gives lectures all the time on how to do all sorts of things with networking and all that kind of, how do you build a career? So he's gonna do a three-part series over the span of a couple months. Where first he's going to talk about identifying and leveraging your brand as an artist. So he's going to work with figuring out what is the thing about yourself that you can sell and how do you market that thing, whatever the case may be with whatever art that you are in. Then he's going to be talking about marketing locally to generate more work. And so that's going to be thinking more about in whatever town you are in, how do you start to build out your creative and professional profile by working with people to start building a local network that will then hopefully spread over time. And then finally, he'll be talking about career planning for a portfolio career. And what he means by that is basically building multiple revenue streams so that you have, because often as a freelance artist, you can't just count on one thing. you've usually got to have multiple different gigs. Some of them might be with nonprofit organizations or with universities or with high schools or whatever. Some of them might just be one-off gigs that happen. Some of them might be selling work for various things, taking commissions, that kind of thing. So he's going to be talking about how to map out a career that takes advantage of all the numerous opportunities that there are for artists. And with each of these, he's a very dynamic speaker, and I think people are really going to enjoy hearing his presentation. And I'm hoping people have a lot of questions for him and can kind of think about these in advance and show up maybe even with some examples of their own work that they can be asking the speaker about. One other speaker that I'm pleased to say that we're going to have, Jennifer Davidson. She lives in Vienna, Austria, though she was born in America, but she's been working in Vienna for quite a while with opera companies there. But her main area of research is mental health and the arts. So we're going to have her do a couple of talks on how to maintain sanity with a career in the arts. It's a, as I said earlier, it can be a field that can be very rewarding, but it's also a field that just has tons of rejection, to be totally honest. It's just auditions or submissions or whatever, and having to deal with how does one maintain confidence and mental stability in a way that allows them to still perform their art or create their art at the highest possible level. And this is a thing that she's been actively researching with grants from multiple research organizations. She's one of the leading people doing this right now. And so we're really fortunate that she's going to give a couple lectures for us. And again, people will be able to ask questions, hopefully about their own experience. I can just say from personal experience that my students in music, I think, will really benefit from that sort of thing. Issues of mental health is something that at my university we are working with kind of all of the time, and are always very concerned with how to help our students maintain their mental health and their spark and their creativity and all of that. So there are several other topics that are coming up in the future. You can actually look at a bunch of these. If you look at the SPVA website, we're starting to build out some of these. If you look at under programs, if you go to Artist Career Boosts, this is the webinar series that we're gonna be building. And so there's some really fascinating and interesting ones that I'm looking forward to hosting. Hopefully, by the way, with this lecture series, this is the most I will ever talk, because my real expertise is music of the Renaissance, which is not at all what the point of this is. My job is going to be bringing in the best speakers to share the kind of information for participants that is, and for members of the SPVA that's very valuable. But if you look, there's all sorts of things that we could think about, how AI is going to affect the arts. We're going to have some leading thinkers in that to think about how to interact with AI. What are the challenges? What are the opportunities? That sort of thing. We're going to be talking about maybe what I might be a little more involved in is transitioning from academia to a career in the arts. And right now I'm just sort of looking down. If you look through this list, it's really exciting. As you can see, we've got plenty of topics. So we're going to be able to have lectures pretty, you know, every couple of weeks. We're never going to run out of things to talk about that we can be thinking about. Some of these might be, how do you build artistic collaborations? Some of them are going to be a little more heady and research based, and some of them are going to be very practical. How do you just get this very specific work done? And all these webinars, we're going to keep them to 30 to 45 minutes. This one's going to be probably shorter, but we're going to try to keep them tight and contained, and so that someone can sit down and watch it and leave with practical skills that will hopefully, or that will definitely continue, like will enhance their career, especially as people continue to view these webinars over time. He is on the call, so I'm actually gonna introduce one other person here. Dr. Mike Polo, I don't know if you can show your face again or if you'll just hear your voice if you're still able to talk right now. But he's the executive director of the SPVA. Mike and I have worked together on several projects, including we designed a board game together, for example. Mike is building out a lot of this list. He's doing a lot of the work. I'm going to be sort of more of a host. He's doing a lot of the background work to be pulling in these speakers from his international networks. Mike, would you like to say anything about the series coming up?
Yeah, I think maybe one thing I think that's important, because so much of what it is that we're doing, especially with the mission with the Artist Career Boost, is giving a space and a place for people to learn how to work with each other, how to network. Nick, I think maybe because you and I have been working together for 2018 was the first time when we actually worked together.
Maybe.
When we did the study abroad. Yeah. I think it might be interesting, just as an example of something that is practical that anybody that's watching this now or that can learn from some watching this later. If you wouldn't mind, I can just maybe share how we met, and then if you can pick it up and how we can continue to work together, I think it would be an interesting example already. So some people on the call, I think, already know some of the history here, but Nick and I, you know, we've known each other since 2018. There was a music festival I used to work at in northern Minnesota, and every year there was a gentleman, well, two gentlemen that would come, one by the name of Alexander Cazares, which Nick and I are a mutual friend. Nick and him they know each other from school. I knew Alex when I would see him every summer in Minnesota. And we got to know each other. I got to know Alex quite well. Nick got to know Alex quite well. And there was another gentleman, Igor, that had more or less introduced us and put us together. And so at the time I was already starting to do work in Europe, and Nick, with the university that he was at, was looking for a business partner to be working with there. And so then I started working with his school. And so, Nick, maybe from there, after we landed and we negotiated out a contract, your school ended up contracting my company to do your study abroad program. But then when we were together in Vienna, we discovered that we have a love of gaming. So Nick, maybe you wouldn't mind, maybe you want to elaborate or pick it up from there.
Sure. So, I mean, it's been Mike and I have worked on several projects, and it's a good example how networking and building personal relationships can lead to all sorts of crazy opportunities. Mike and I, we've started a board game company. We're going to be launching. We're making educational games about the humanities and the arts. So the first one's called Impresario, and it's a music history card game. So we'll be launching that hopefully within a few months. But then we've started to work together on different projects. Mike's involved with a bunch of different festivals. So I got to, I've gone to Brazil several times to present. And through that, I've met several other people that I'm continuing to work with as the network continues to grow. Some of them I'm actually bringing, I don't even told you this yet, Mike, but I've got some grants to be bringing some of these musicians to my campus to give presentations to students, which is exciting. And then we've worked together in Vienna, and my university is still hiring Mike to be doing the another study abroad this upcoming summer in Vienna. But we've been able to, through this network, find all sorts of different projects and connections. And the SPVA is another one that we can add onto that. Is that the kind of thing you were thinking, Mike?
Yeah. But, I just want to reiterate, because the Artist Career Boost, while there's all these fascinating topics and things that we're going to be discovering together over the course of the next several months, it's through the relationships is where these artistic boosts and opportunities arrive out of, and maintaining those relationships. And so I'm excited that Eric's going to be talking about, especially in the local community. I think that's such an important undervalued thing. It's a difficult thing to do, to be a real rock star in your local community, no matter which area you're in, because it's always a competitive place, and there's people that are in line or other people that are in front of you. And so especially when you're in that community, breaking in and finding the right people to go out to coffee with and, the right people to spend time with and, but where you have a genuine and meaningful relationship, because as we all know, the arts are that's primarily, it's all about community engagement, both within your friend group, but then also within your community at large, whether it's in a local, national, or international. That's such a important part of that. But then also with some of the other, the other topics that we're covering, the mental health aspect of it is a big thing for sure. And not just in, how artists are, dealing with the stress of being a starving artist, but then also with having to get into the space of how arts is beneficial for people in every discipline. Doesn't work in any space in their life. There's a lot of different aspects in whether it's art therapy, music therapy, dance therapy. There's a lot of institutional changes that are taking place within hospitals, in terms of design, and a lot of the sciences and all other areas are getting more interested in how arts can have an impact a meaningful impact on business in general and on community life, whether that's an urban place. So there's a lot that's going to be discussed in that aspect. Nick, maybe if perhaps would you maybe elaborate just a bit about maybe where and how you see this evolving and going, and also the importance of what our community and the society wants to hear about, or maybe what's a good way that we can maybe integrate, you know, just the current topics that maybe we can spend a little more time on for people that are, that have a particular interest in something.
So you're asking first about the lecture series, right? So people can definitely find out more about it on that Artist Career Boost page. We're going to be setting up a calendar soon, and we're going to be organizing these topics a little bit more, so that people can view upcoming plan which webinars to attend, see the kind of topics we're going to be coming. So hopefully people come prepared with questions, that sort of thing. One thing I'm really interested in is because the SBVBA is a you know, fairly new organization, at least my involvement with it has been quite recent. But I would like, as the community grows, that people can also start to, I think there's going to be an opportunity as we start to network with each other and the community starts to meet each other and to work together, for us to also get suggestions of the kinds of topics that people are really interested in. And so this list, we're going to be able to continue growing. And thinking about the very specific things that especially like if you start watching these webinars soon, you're going to be right in like at the ground floor. So it's going to be easy to talk to us and be like, hey, here's some things I really am kind of interested in. And we'll be reaching into our networks and looking for the perfect kind of speaker for those topics. And, you know, it's my hope that this will grow into a series that will eventually cover numerous topics that would be valuable for really anybody in the arts. The kinds of material that colleges, universities should probably be teaching more, that they're not necessarily teaching enough. But it's because the expertise that you need to do this is not the same expertise you need to be in a university. So what are you excited about with it, Mike? You know, all sorts of people. You just want to show off all the people you know.
Yeah, of course, that's it. No, I think, you know, I mean, I just using the work that we've done together, the arts is such a wonderful space to be crossing different paths within the arts community itself, but then also outside of it. You know what I mean? Even with Empresario, I mean, we've been working with designers and, you know, game designers and a lot of different, you know, manufacturing. I mean, Nick and I never thought that we would be thinking about ordering, you know, freights of games coming from another country, and how one square inch off of a box would change the cost of the production. You know what I mean? And so that's more on the business side. But, you know, meeting new people and getting to know new people is such an important thing and such an important aspect of the arts. You know what I mean? It's the place where we cross. And like I always tell my students when I was teaching full time, is that we're all growing old together and you never know when you're going to cross paths. And that's what I want this to happen. A lot of the people, all the people that would be coming in and giving the lecture series, they're very close to our networks and other members and other board members of the SPVA. And so you're going to be closer to these individuals that if you had an engagement with them as part of the lecture series or as part of the webinar and you'd like to get to know them more, to pick up the phone or to send them an email and say, hey, I'm part of SPVA, I was at your webinar, or even if you weren't there and you went back and listened to it, they're gonna know that they spoke to you and that you heard what they were saying. And that's an important way of networking, because it's one thing to, you know, watch somebody on YouTube, but to be part of a society and where you are able to say that they were an honored guest of the society giving a lecture and that you're a member of the society, that's the type of family unit that a society is able to provide. And so I'd just like to reinforce that, you know, I mean, with Jennifer, with Eric, with the other different people that would be coming in, Igor, Ariel, I mean, there's a lot that we have in line. These are all individuals and friends that you can be, you know, reaching out to and contacting when after you witness or you come to a webinar series. So the opportunity to come and talk with them directly on this webinar series is an amazing opportunity, but then also attending, and if you didn't have the right question, or if you had another question, to be able to follow up and be like, hey, I was there, I saw what you were speaking about. I'd love to follow up with you like this. This is how you network, and this is how this is part of the career boosting, is you meeting these different individuals. I will just tell you this, Nick, you may have done the same thing, maybe not, but I know for composers, as I'm a composer myself, when I was applying to graduate school, I would always go visit all the people I would be attending with, or I could be studying with. And it made a radical difference in, I really honestly believe, my own acceptance rate with some of the schools, because they could put a name and a face with the application that they receive on the other side. And a lot of these were from suggestions of my teachers, and, you know, I mean, to go fly out and to go meet somebody, you know, face to face. Now, again, this is, I was taking lessons at the time. It just changes the experience, because, you know, again, we're artists, we connect on a very human level, and we like to be engaged with each other. And so this is a great platform for that type of engagement, right, Nick? I mean, that's kind of, yeah, which I think is important. And maybe, Nick, if you wouldn't mind, before we open up for questions, can you also just maybe explain about some of the other things that you do with your radio show and the other things? I find it fascinating. I love it. I think it's such a smart idea, because this is something else that I think other people can do. I mean, it's a good model. Mm-hmm. Your classical pairings is what I'm talking about. Because culinary arts, it's food and drink, it's, you know, I mean, it's classical music in community spaces, and you're a little hometown celebrity in those spaces. So. Yeah,
I do sometimes get recognized, which by
it's the beard.
I run a series called Classical Pairings, which is both a podcast that's often on local NPR here in Indianapolis, and then also it's a concert series, and it's basically it's pairing music with usually cocktails or distilleries or breweries or chocolatier dessert type of places. And the whole goal of the show, the goal of the show is to start removing barriers from classical music and from art, basically. And so I do absolutely think that this could work with other art forms just as well. And because it's a very low, like, we talk a little bit about like getting into the music, but we're also just drinking beer and having a good time. And then the concert series I do, so we do concerts in the distilleries and in the breweries. And it's, again, it's about trying to make classical music fun. And it's about trying to meet people where they are, that you can dress however you want. You can enjoy a concert while you have a cocktail. And we pair everything. So every piece is specifically tied to a specific cocktail. I host this and I joke around with the audience. I'm walking around with a silly mic and interviewing people in the audience. And the whole goal and the whole thing is over in an hour. We're trying to keep it very fun and light. But yeah, it's actually gone very well. And we have, it's an example of a project that it's sponsored by the National Bank of Indianapolis. They pay for the whole series because they believe in, because we're supporting local businesses and we're supporting local musicians together with this series. So it's the kind of creative project that can bring multiple things together. And one thing that artists often need to do is you can also find a corporate partner. And this is the kind of project, by engaging locally with businesses, that we were able to find a corporate partner for it, that is able to fund this. So the musicians always get paid well, the distilleries always get paid well, so everybody's happy. It's a good way to both share the arts and have some access to a money-making prospect for everybody. So that's one of the other projects I do. There's others, but that's the one that's most businessy. I'm also an opera librettist, I guess, now. So that's I am still an artist, even though I teach musicology. I still do other things like that.
And actually, yeah. a very good writer as well. We've actually been going through the libretto. We're actually doing, Nick had written an opera that's going to be premiered with us this summer in Vienna. It's a one act called Lilacs and Lilies, and it's very fun. I'm actually with Vince. We went through it the other day.
Wonderful. Very good.
Anything else, Nick? Do you want to maybe say?
Anybody has any questions in the chat, I'd be happy to talk about anything else.
Yeah. And also, I think that we're able to open, or you can type in the chat window, or we can even allow you to turn on your microphones. And there's not so many of us here, but if anybody has any questions, you're more than welcome to put in the chat, or we can unmute you. I'm just going to unmute everybody just in case anybody has anything that they want to ask. So
I hope everybody's hearing you say that.
Yeah, I know.
I'm going to have like a loud TV on or something.
Yeah.
Because I've got to go watch the Pacers game after this.
Uh-oh. Any questions, Napoleon or Sarah or anybody else?
Yeah. Hi, everyone.
Hi, how are you?
Hello. I'm good, bye. How are you all?
Good, very good.
Yeah. Nice. Sorry, I think I have a little problem with my connection. I don't think it's with my microphone. When I joined first, I think I got a prompt that I only joined for listening only. I can't have any, you know, I can't turn my video on or my camera on. But now that you allowed us to talk, I think my mic is working now.
Yes, we can hear you.
Yes, great. Well, I really enjoyed the session. Thank you so much for this opportunity. I think I have a lot of expectation for the SPVA. Myself, I am a PhD student in Ohio University. I'm doing interdisciplinary art, which is theater and then design. So my primary area of expertise has been in the area of theater. So I'm looking forward to more opportunities to learn from people, get some extra perspective on some of the ideas that I have, and then to just share knowledge, basically. So thank you very much for the opportunity.
Sure. Yeah. Napoleon, I'd be happy to, you know, I mean, I'm currently involved in a large theater project. Nick knows about this, and I think some of the people of the SPVA know about it. It's a big show that I'm working on, and I produce a lot of theater, opera, musical theater, you know, a lot of different spaces and places in there. So, you know, I mean, I'd be happy to speak with you and talk with you about that.
Great.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, producing is one of my favorite things to be doing. Mm-hmm. It's not easy. You know, I mean, there's a lot of money, a lot of production things involved. I'm actually going to a big casting session in about 2 weeks. We have about, I don't know, 600 people we have to review. Now, what's nice is that while I'm the composer on the show and also a producer on the show, there's a casting company that's kind of taking care of a lot of that, which helps tremendously.
Great.
You know what I mean? But then also being involved in the back end and setting up all the you know, the production aspects of it is such a big part of it. And I think I've done about, I don't know, maybe 200, 300 world premieres of orchestra, you know, chamber music.
Wow.
I've done about maybe 18 operas at this point. Six of them were world premieres. Two musical theater pieces, a lot of work in Brazil, Bulgaria. So, I mean, so if it's production and theater, this I'll be happy to share with you. And we'll have a lot of people, you know, that are going to be talking about that as well.
Thank you. Yes, yeah. That's great. Please, how do I get to connect with you from here?
Yeah, so you're part of the internship, correct?
Yes, please, I am.
Yeah. So I'll be having weekly office hours, you know, and continue to have them. I've been traveling quite a bit. I'm actually down in Miami now, and so I'll be back on the 4th. After that, you'll be able to have access to me. And
Great.
Even after the internship is done, you can still have access to me throughout the year. And however, I mean, you'll be able to reach out to me easily.
Great.
We can be scheduling separate times to talk as well.
Awesome. I really appreciate this. Thank you so much.
Of course.
Sure. Mike likes to talk to people, so yeah.
That's good.
My phone is it doesn't stop. I feel bad because there's other many times I look at it, it's like, oh my god, and then I have to remember I have to sleep sometimes. No, kidding. Yeah, no, but anything you like to talk about, for sure.
Great. Thank you.
So Sarah, you had a question in the chat. I'm sorry your mic's not working, but that's okay. We can talk here. How could you potentially use that? So
there's a question.
It's great to type out my question. I love the combining of your music, your love for music, with cocktails. So Nick, this is for you.
Nice. I'm not seeing the chat. Interesting.
It's okay. I can read it to you.
Okay. Yeah. Please read it.
how could you potentially use that as a way to promote community arts and smaller artists?
Yeah. So we've actually been talking about doing that. I'm wanting to add one extra layer where I want to do one of these series at a small local gallery, or have artists also join. So we are in talks because we're planning our next season right now. And one of the things we need to talk to our sponsor about this, but our goal is to have musicians, like a distiller or a cocktail maker or something, and a couple visual artists. And so that it's a gallery show with the concert, with the cocktail as well, so that the whole thing would be kind of paired. We sort of think about all of these existing together. I have a dream of trying to also involve dance. That one, I think we could work. I don't know as many dancers as I know visual artists that I'd be able to get this started with. But I think what I have found with this, two important lessons with this series. One is that it's a lot easier to get people to show up to this sort of a concert than a more traditional, what I would might maybe call like a suit and tie concert. Because it's kind of like a more fun, unique sort of experience. And by the way, I forgot to say, people buy a ticket for it still, and that covers like all of their drinks. So if there's three cocktails, they get all three of them with it. But then the second thing I found is because we're involving local musicians and local businesses, as I was saying earlier, it's easier to get partnership and sponsorship or get corporate partners or individual donors to help it, because it's sort of like the corporation or the individual donor is getting a little bit more bang for their buck. Because if they're not just supporting a concert or just supporting a local business, they're doing both at once. And so my plan is to actually then grow, and I want it to be an event where there's also an art gallery associated with it, where an artist, I actually did one where an artist was painting while the event was happening. And then the painting was for sale at the end of it. They had to go pretty quick because it was like an hour. But I think there's a lot of fun ways because you can bring a lot of people together with these sorts of unusual artistic moments. And I think, you know, audiences are more and more wanting kind of fun and unique, unusual events that it doesn't feel like going to a concert or going to a museum in the way that maybe it has in the past, but is a lot more about the community and multiple different types of people is always really fun, having like the brewery crowd and the music crowd together. And I think having the art crowd would be really nice. So I think I answered all your question. I unfortunately can't see the question in the chat. I don't know why. Mm-hmm. But hopefully I answered everything.
Sarah, was that able? Did I answer your question? There we go. She's Nick. I'm just going to read this back. That is really wonderful. I'm in Philadelphia currently, and events like these are becoming more popular.
Right.
Where smaller artists can promote their work during events. I agree that these super diverse mixes of people can be super awesome.
Great.
I'm also right next to Philly, which I think, sir, we talked about this. I could be wrong. I can't remember. So, but yeah, I live in South Jersey, so I'm not so far. But Nick, maybe just following up with if Sarah was interested in getting started, how would you suggest getting involved already with these things that are coming up, and what's the best way to professionally engage with people that are already doing it, or to even get involved yourself? Because you mentioned NPR, it's national. You know what I mean?
And we're hopefully going to be doing some vignettes for NPR, but we're still working on that. So one important step that I kind of skipped in the development of this is that I started the project working with a non-for-profit. It's called Classical Music Indy. It's a local organization that promotes music in Indianapolis. And so I am a host for Classical Music Indy through this concert series. That's all I do. They also are on local radio or radio throughout the state. So working for the non-for-profit gave me, when I started then approaching, well, first of all, it gave me a team because I work with a couple people with Classical Music Indy, but it then gave us some credibility when we started approaching distilleries and breweries, and then they knew musicians to bring in. And then once we had all that, then we had a package to take to go talk to a sponsor to fund the entire thing. And so I think that finding some sort of local non-for-profit or potentially even starting one, which by the way is a plan of mine for a future artist career boost is working with and founding non-for-profits, as it's artists very commonly work with non-profs. And so working with that organization, and my hunch is there's a lot of non-profs that are looking for exciting content and are just looking for, every non-for-profit is trying to find, how do you connect with someone in their 20s or 30s? That's like universal. That's what people are wondering. And these sorts of concerts are how you do it, or it's a way to do it, because our average audience is drastically younger than like the average audience at the symphony, which tends to be an older population. And everybody's trying to figure out how to reach a younger population. So anyway, so I would recommend there, I'm confident that there are similar non-for-profit arts or music or some sort of organization. And then we actually got involved with another not-for-profit. I'm sorry. The automatic cat feeder is going off right by my desk. I apologize.
Okay. I have three cats, so I'm familiar with it. That's okay.
There'll be a cat jumping here in a second. So we then profited with another not-for-profit, it's a brewery guild. Maybe they're for-profit, but it's a guild of all the breweries in Indiana. And so the two of us started building this all out. So there's the cat. So finding organizations that already exist is a good way to skip a whole bunch of steps, basically, because then it gives you some credibility. But they like being approached with ideas like this. This idea for a fun art event, usually they're going to want to have that meeting, as has been my experience.
You know what, Nick? Hold on. Do you mind if I turn my camera back on?
No, please turn it back on. I'm petting my cat.
Just with what you're saying, and honestly, with what the way that Sarah's question, how you answered it, just made me think. You know, I mean. In my experience, I've worked with four for-profit companies, but I've worked with several nonprofit companies. And what Nick is explaining is him working with a nonprofit company and leveraging a company as a fiscal sponsor. So rather than even founding your own non-for-profit company, the SPVA is a non-for-profit. And so this is one that I'm sure that if you had a presentation or something that you wanted to do that was maybe something similar, that the SPVA could come in as a fiscal sponsor, and you could already be working with them. I did this with the one program I run in London. There was after everything that happened with COVID, I'm gonna kind of talk just quickly about some of the business stuff I had to deal with this past year because it was a nightmare. But it's good knowledge to have. Everything that had happened with COVID, just with how the banks and how the infrastructure in the UK was dealing with outside entities coming in and doing business in the country, they were only willing to work with non-for-profit companies. And with me, I couldn't do that because I'm only for-profit. And so there was another company that I work with called Artists for a Cause. And they are what they run a lot of what's called fiscal sponsorship. So the companies that I was dealing with in the UK, they would trust them. And so I could run the business that I was doing through this other company. And something similar can happen with the SPVA. So if you're, obviously you're based in Philly. And so if there were things that you wanted to do and you were looking for, a support mechanism, you could leverage the SPVA, maybe, Nick, similar to the way that you were leveraging classical music indie before you got the NPR contract, correct? Or
yeah, it was a show. Yeah. We pitched it with them first.
Yeah. And so it's something like this, And Sarah, because you're not so far from where you live, from where I live, and I know a lot of people in the Philly area, just because I'm not so far. That if there was something that you were interested in doing, you'd have to prepare a nice proposal about what it is that you would be doing and the benefit to the community, which there's a lot that we could figure out there, and then also how the society is part of that, and then it would allow you to go pitch for some of the local banks or the government subsidies or other things like this to do a project, but then you would be spearheading that project. So if you're curious about talking about that, Nick has experience about this. Nick, I would hope that maybe you would consider even talking about, maybe with Sarah separately or even myself. Yeah, Sarah, be happy to speak with you.
Yeah. So I do think we're right kind of at the end of time. And hold we're going to try to be careful with these webinars, unless there was another question that I still can't see.
No, I just want to, Sarah just wrote back and she said, thank you so much for the advice. This perfectly answered all my questions. I would love to reach out to other local artists and find connections for a project with the SPVA. That's perfect. Wonderful. And you know what? Who else is on the call? Is Belinda, Sarah, and Napoleon. You may have met her already. She's one of our bosses with the SPVA, and you know, one of the big ones that are running everything behind the scenes. And so, Sarah, maybe also, I'm sorry, Belinda, I'll also follow up with you after the call, maybe from tomorrow. This way, we can schedule some time to maybe if we can get both of these individuals on a call with both of us or either one of us, and maybe help them get some proposals together about, you know, maybe what it is that we could be all doing together more than anything. So, but yeah. So Nick, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but if you want to, I know Belinda is going to maybe want to have a few closing marks before we go, but yeah, if you just want to.
Yeah, no, so this was great. I think we've got some really exciting talks. I believe the next talk is going to be on February 13th. That information will be posted both on the website and sent to members. That's what, at the moment, we are thinking it's going to be identifying and leveraging your brand as an artist. That Eric Salazar will be giving that one. I think that's going to be that one. We're still confirming all the calendar elements and getting this all lined out. But so the plan right now is one of these webinars every 2 weeks. I'm really excited to see how this grows. I'm hoping that, you know, in a few months we're going to have just tons of attendees on these asking questions of all these great speakers we have lined up.